Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Mem Hei. As you can see, probably one of the shortest dafim in Shas, as far as words on the page are concerned. Obviously, the Ron's got a lot what to say, but meanwhile, let's finish up today with the Amud Aleph Mem Hei. So we're going to be finishing up the fourth parak of the Masechta, and Emir Tzashem. As we turn the page, we're going to be starting the fifth parak. So let's get underway. We are in a 3-day discussion regarding the Shita Rabbi Yossi. So let's just give a little bit of background information so that we really begin to appreciate what the Gemara is going to do today in terms of wrapping up the this discussion. So everything goes back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah goes all the way back to Daf Mem Gimel. On Daf Mem Gimel, back on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara it said the following. Basically, if I have a Madar, I have a Mudar. Someone made an Eder, you're not going to get benefit from me. And so now that you're obviously via an Eder, you're not allowed to get benefit from me. But knew you're hungry and I have food. So we have a problem and it needs a solution. It's very simple. So what do I do? So what we learned back on the Daf on Mem Gimel is that what we can do is that we can go indirect. As long as you don't give the Hana directly and as long as there is a circuitous route from the food going from me to you, so under those circumstances, that's fine. Indirect benefit would be acceptable and not a violation of the neder. That was the Mishnah back on Mem Gimel. Example, so there are a number of examples. All the examples that were certainly acceptable were where there was a middleman. Once there's a middleman, the middleman will, and I say this with no cynicism, it's just whatever. I'm just saying it to be provocative, but I'm not really being cynical. It's a way of laundering the food. Okay, in other words, I go to the storekeeper, I say, no, Nebuch, that poor guy over there, he's hungry, he needs to eat, and right now he can't get the food directly from me, but you know, Nebuch, what are we going to do? And then his understanding, of course, is that he's going to go ahead and provide the food, and then he'll come back to me for reimbursement. That's fine. That would be a acceptable way of navigating around the neder. So where does it get controversial? In the following scenario. Where... it's just me and him. We're traveling by ourselves. It's just the two of us. And he's hungry. And meanwhile, he can't get enough from me. So here's what I could do. I could take the food, put it on the fence, declare it to be Hefker. All right. I make a public announcement to nobody. Right. I'm talking to nobody. And I say that this food over here is no longer mine. I relinquish ownership over that food. And Shalma Yisrael. Oh. And meanwhile, he's right there. And he's like, okay, good. And he goes ahead and he takes it. Now, he didn't take it from me. He took it from Hefker. Hefker is its own entity. It's like an escrow account. So is that going to work under those circumstances? There was no middleman. Over here, it's the legal reality that when I'm Mafker, it's no longer mine. He's taking it from Hefker. And so therefore, it would be okay. Is that right? So the Tanakhama says, yeah, that would be acceptable. That would be fine. And Rav Yossi and the Mishnah said, no, that's unacceptable. That's not considered indirect. Okay. So that Shita Rav Yossi, what's behind that Shita Rav Yossi? So we have now been spending Daf Mem Gimel discussing it, Daf Mem Dalid discussing it, and half of today's Daf as well. So for the third day now in a row, we're going to be discussing what exactly is the Shita of Rav Yossi. So Rav Yochanan's viewpoint is the following, and that is that Rav Yossi has a dramatically different way of looking at Hefker. The traditional and classic way to present Hefker is that when I'm mafkir, what I'm doing is I'm taking the item, I'm now relinquishing ownership of the item, as it now, I declare myself no longer to be the owner. Now the item is ownerless, and somebody goes and takes it. That would be called the classic presentation of Hefker. And Rav Yochanan says that, but Rav Yossi fundamentally disagrees. And Rav Yossi's viewpoint is that no, the way Hefker works and operates is that what I'm doing is that when I declare to be Hefker, I am not relinquishing my owner. All I'm simply doing is allowing permission to anybody who comes and takes it to simply take it from me. But in other words, when he's taking it, he's not taking it from Hefker, he's taking it from me. Okay. And that's how Hefker works. And if that's true, so then you understand Rav Yossi of our Mishnah. When Rav Yossi says that when I put it in Hefker and he takes it from Hefker, it's not indirect. So this Rav Yochanan view of Rav Yossi perfectly explains the Mishnah. Because what comes out now is that it's not an indirect recipient, it's a direct recipient. He's directly taken from me. I gave it to Hefker. Hefker is not a relinquishment of ownership. Hefker just simply means I give permission for him to take it. But it's no different than a matana. Those are the Gemara's words that we saw back on Daf Mem Gimel. So that's Rav Yochanan's viewpoint of Rav Yossi. It is a very, very interesting way to see Rav Yossi, and not everyone agreed. If you go all the way back to after Mem Gimel, Rav gave a different explanation of Rav Yossi, which we don't have to go over again right now. It's not the only way to say over Rav Yossi, but it is Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara yesterday's daf and today's daf is going to be discussing whether or not this is an acceptable way to understand Rav Yossi. What we did yesterday is we went over a Braisa and the question of whether or not the Braisa can be understood within the framework, within the context of Rav Yossi. For today's daf, I don't need to go over the Braisa. All we need to know is that the Amoraim were debating and split on whether or not yesterday's Braisa could be going like Rav Yossi or it could not be a going like Rav Yossi. And that was a debate amongst the Amoraim that we saw in yesterday's daf. Okay. We're now just going to move ahead to today's daf. And so where do we find ourselves? Mem Dalet Amud Beis. It's also a really short daf. And Meisvei. So we're two lines down from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara now, three lines down from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara is going to be quoting another Braisa. And once again, the question of whether or not this Braisa could be going like Rav Yossi or not going like Rav Yossi. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on the following Mafkers Karmo. So what you have is a vineyard and you're an Eretz Yisrael. And if you go ahead and you harvest the vineyard, so what do you have to do? Once again, Shrumas and Maestros. That's a lot. It's over 20%. They're going to go to the Kohanim and Levim. So you know what you do? You're Mafkir. You declare it to be ownerless. Now, 20% is a lot. When you're Mafkir, you know how much of it you lost? 100%. That's even more. Okay, my math is really good today. But you're Mafkir it. But in other words, here's what happened. Late at night, you were Mafkir it. Early next morning. Oh, look at that. Right? Whose vineyard is this? Whose grapes are these? Looks fantastic. And you take them and you take them all. Don't you have to give off Trumas HaMaisos? No. In other words, there's no Chiv of Trumas HaMaisos when you're taking from Efker. Now over here, it's fishy. Meaning you were the one who were Mafker late that night. Next morning you woke up before anybody else and you took it for yourself. Is that really Hefker? So the Braisa says, HaMafker is Karmo V'Loshachar Amadu Vitzro Chayv Beper Devolos V'Shecho V'Peya. So in terms of the Matanos Aniyim, you're going to be chayv in all the Matanos Aniyim. Okay, and I'm not going to go through over here the four different Matanos Aniyim that exist by grapes. Just know, and we could just say it simply. There are various tithing that you have to do for the poor people. And over here, all the tithing for the poor people are all in effect. Period. In other words, that wasn't Hefker. If it really was Hefker, so then it's Patur. Then you have a legitimate exemption, but that's not really Hefker. Okay. So you're chayvin all the Matnos Aniyim. However, Patur Mina Meiser. But what the Braisa says is that you're not going to be obligated in Meiser, meaning Meiser over here, meaning Trumas and Meisros. So you're not going to be obligated in Trumas and Meisros. Meisros, why? Because as far as the Matnos Aniyim are concerned, so there are drushas that inform us that there's still chayv in Matanos Aniyim. And we're not going to go through the drushas right now because it's not our focus. Our focus right now is on the Trumas HaMaisos and an exemption. Meaning despite the fact that what you did was a little bit fishy and right a little bit underhanded. Okay, I want to be careful about the adjectives that I use, but yeah, we all understand. In other words, what you did is that basically you helped yourself to a loophole. But nevertheless, you're going to be putter from Trumas and Maestros. Now, Bishlam al-Ulam, Derabbanan Katanila, Deraisa Katanila. Now, if we're Ula, we're good. Now, who's Ula? So again, that goes back to yesterday's daf. So the yesterday's daf, so we had a Braisa. Again, I'm not going to go through the Braisa again of yesterday's daf. But if you remember, according to Ula, so the, right. According to Ula, so there's going to be when you're mafkir, so it goes to Hefker immediately. There's a 3-day delay. So yeah, there's a 3-day delay, but for our purposes right now, we don't have to focus on that. It goes to Hefker immediately. So Bishlam Ula, the Rabbanan Katanila, the Raisa Katanila. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the Braisas are concerned, we're fine. We're totally fine. Because if you remember yesterday's daf, and I admit yesterday's daf was complicated, but right now, if I could just reduce and simplify, so in yesterday's daf, so it's Hefker, according to Ula, meaning the Braisa of yesterday's daf was going like the Chachamim, it's hefker, and but midrabban because of a rabbinic concern, so you're going to be chayv chuma samaisos, right? To borrow the language of yesterday's daf, shalolishkach toras hefker. So as a rabbinic concern, as a rabbinic innovation, so you're still going to be chayv chuma samaisos, but may ikker hadin according to the strictest letter of the law, it really is hefker and it's not chayv chuma samaisos. So good. So now, what just happened? We learned a brisa in the beginning of today's daf. And the brisa says that it's pater from Chumas and Maisos. That's on a daraisa level. It's pater from Chumas and Maisos. What can I tell you? Meaning, the brises tell us what the halacha is, medina daraisa. And sometimes the brisa tells us, okay, but there's also a rabbinic concern. So, in other words, I'll take yesterday's brisa, I'll take today's brisa, and I'll just simply synthesize. Yeah, today's brisa is telling me what's the din aliba daraisa. Right? In other words, without the rabbinic decree, what would be the halacha? You're a mafkirit. It's hefker. It's no longer yours. You're pater from Trumas and Maisos. And now I go back to yesterday's daf where it says you're chayv Trumas and Maisos. That's because of a rabbinic concern. Good. So there is an easy way now to navigate everything and to look at yesterday's brisa and today's brisa. And according to Ula, it's all going according to the Chachamim and Shalom al Yisrael. However, Ella, the Reish Lakish, am I pater from a Maiser? But according to Reish Lakish, what's going to happen? Because if you go back to yesterday's daf, Reish Lakish took yesterday's brisa and learned it like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, and so now if you're taking yesterday's brisa and learning like Rav Yossi, so this brisa over here is also going to be going like Rav Yossi. Well, that's no good. In other words, and leave the 3 days alone. Meaning, according to Rav Yossi, when you're mafkir something, are you no longer the owner? No, you're still the owner according to Rav Yossi. So if you're still the owner, so what happened? Late last night, you were mafkir your field, your vineyard. Early this morning, you took it back for yourself. So what happened? Did you take it back from Hefker? No, you didn't take it back from Hefker. It was yours. It's Chayv and Trumas and Maestros. So over here, if you're learning the Brisa like Rav Yossi, how do you make sense of our Brisa? Yeah. Our Brisa says Petur Min HaMaiser. And meanwhile, if you're insistent on learning the Brisa like Rav Yossi, wrong answer. It shouldn't be say Petur Min HaMaiser. It should say Chayv Min HaMaiser. So the Gemara says, Am Lechaki, Am Yana Le Rav Yossi. So how Rabbanan he? So what Reish Lakish will tell you is, everyone breathe. Everyone just take a moment. In other words, look, if we go back to yesterday's daf and I'm explaining yesterday's brisa, I'm going to tell you that yesterday's brisa is going like Rav Yossi. Today's a new day. It's a new brisa. So today's brisa, that brisa is going like the Chachamim. Meaning, remember, according to Reish Lakish, he's not ignoring the Chachamim. He's just simply saying, I have a brisa. I think that brisa could go like Rav Yossi. That doesn't mean every brisa goes like Rav Yossi. It means that yesterday's daf and yesterday's brisa went like Rav Yossi. Today's daf, this brisa, it's going like the Chachamim. Okay, good. That's one way to resolve for Reish Lakish. It's not a resolution. It's just simply saying, yesh v'yesh. I have shitas Rav Yossi. I have shitas Chachamim. Some brises go like one, some brises go like the other. Ebay Sema, as we now turn to the top of today's daf, Bim Hamad Aleph. Another way to say it says, had the afgre ban petrain, have a had the afgre ban petlasa. So, maybe it's just a question of how good you were mafgarit. Meaning that really the truth of the matter is that the brises are going like Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi says that when you're mafgar, you're not relinquishing ownership. And now what we're doing is that we're taking Rav Yossi and we're modifying Rav Yossi. What's the modification? Rav Yossi does fundamentally disagree with Hefker in that Hefker is not a relinquishment of ownership. But there's a limit. Meaning even within the sheet of Rav Yossi, we have limits. Right? And we do this all the time. Meaning Rav Yossi is taking a radical viewpoint. Let's not make it so radical.
Cognizant that it could be abused.
Right. So in other words, so when I'm mafker in front of two people, I'm not relinquishing ownership. Good. And that's yesterday's daf. Today's daf, when you're talking about relinquishing ownership, even Rav Yossi will say that if I'm doing it in front of three, I'm doing it in front of a Beis Din, so then I am, in fact, relinquishing ownership. There is a hefker, even according to Rav Yossi, that looks like the hefker that we all know, that we're all used to. And that is hefker really means that I'm abandoning ownership. And when I'm mafker in front of three, so what's the difference between two and three? So I'm going to give you a simple shot. When you're mafker in front of three, three now is a Beis Din. So in other words, this is a formal act. This is an act done in front of Beis Din. So when I'm doing something in front of Beis Din, so we're creating now a new designation. Meaning it was mine. It's no longer mine. Who am I giving it to right now? This entity called Hefker. But when I'm only doing it in front of two, so two is not Two is not a transfer of ownership. Two just simply means I'm allowing anyone to take it. Okay. So yesterday's brisa, I was mafka in front of two. Today's brisa, I was mafka in front of three. Okay, good. So the Amr of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yosef to call mafka bifnei shlosha havei afker bifnei shtayim lo havei afker. And in fact, this view of Rav Yossi is in perfect conformity. To the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik. Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik says that when you're mafka in front of three, check. In other words, it belongs to Hefker. When you're mafka in front of two, it doesn't work. Okay? And again, same thing. Meaning when I'm mafka in front of three, so now what I've done is that I've created a new reality, a new legal reality. It's no longer mine. It belongs to Hefker. Good. But if I'm mafka in front of two, I did nothing. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar Devar Torah Afil Be'echad Avi Hefker. So, and Rav Yeshua ben Levi disagrees on this point. And he says that min haTorah, even if I'm afka in front of one person, that's going to serve as hefker. And, it's recommended, that when you're afka, you do so in front of three, so that two people can announce it to everybody, meaning two people will serve as witnesses, as they'll be your, right there, they're a PR team. Really, hefker works even afilu be'echad in front of even if it's just one person hearing that you are mafker. Okay, good. And the Ran concludes this parak with speaking out the halacha, meaning the Ran at the very end says, as far as halacha is concerned, look at the last three lines. Ulinyan halacha beplutai to Rav Yochanan Rav Yeshua ben Levi naktinik Rav Yeshua ben Levi damar dvar tola afilu be'echad avi hefker umatam amr b'shosha kidei she'echad zocher shnei me'idim. Meaning we pass like Rav Yeshua that to be mafker you only need one person, you don't need two. Okay, Hajjan Allah ain't been a mudar.
Going back to what started all, when there are two people walking down the road and one wants to feed the other with a piece of bread.
Yeah.
So he could be
mafker.
He could be mafker, and that's it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
If I put something out on the street overnight that make it hefka, and then somebody trips over it and hurts himself,
right?
According to the different sheet, is anybody responsible?
Right. Perfect. In other words, right. It really now it depends on how we view hefka. Meaning, if you're taking the Rav Yossi approach, which we have been focusing on now for three consecutive days,
That's a bore, though.
Baruch Hashem.
That's a bore.
Okay, good. So if we've been focusing on for three consecutive days, so it's yours. And so since it's yours, so you're going to have full liability. If on the other hand, I'm going to get to your point. So if on the other hand, you're looking at the Chachamim, so Hefker really means that it's not yours. And if it's not yours, so then you are no longer liable. Ben reminds us, however, that when we're talking about putting something in a public area, so even though you are not the owner of it, but if you put the hazard out in a public area, so then you're going to be liable, is right, that's called Bor B'Shus Harabim, right? Digging a hole in a public area. Right? So you're going to be liable for all damages that occur. What is it? The hole belongs to you? No, the hole doesn't belong to you. But in other words, that's the chiddush of Bor B'Shus Harabim. So even if we took the viewpoint of the Chachamim, and even if it's no longer yours, which is the Chachamim viewpoint is of course the conventional viewpoint. That's the accepted one, la halacha. Right? I know it's a little bit funny. We spent 3 days of the daf. Right, going over the sheet of Rav Yossi, as understood by Rav Yochanan. And meanwhile, what it does is it tilts us a little bit because that's Rav Yossi, meaning the Chachamim don't agree. And the Chachamim say that Hefker is relinquishing ownership. Anyway, if you hold like the Chachamim that you relinquish owner, but from a damage standpoint, you're still going to be liable if you put it in a public area. Okay, good.
You can put Hefker in a private area?
If something is hefker and it's not and then, right, in other words, bor b'rishus. No, I understand that, but bor b'rishus harabim creates liability. But if you have a bor in your own property, so then somebody goes into your property, you're not going to be liable. You're not going to be liable. Okay, but that's baba kama. Okay, good. Okay. What does that do? It brings us now to today to the second half of today's daf. Right, that was pretty quick, but we're here already. And the second half of today's daf. Yeah. So second half of today's daf. So we have a Mishnah. So here we are now in the beginning of the fifth parak of the Masechta, and we have a Mishnah. Now this is a funny way to operate, but what we're going to do is that we're going to read three lines of the Mishnah, and the rest of the Mishnah we're going to go over tomorrow in tomorrow's daf. But why are there only three lines in today's daf in the second half of today's daf? It's because obviously the Ron's got a lot to say. So what we're going to do now is that we're going to learn the three lines together, and I'll give you highlights of the Ron. Okay, very interesting discussion over here within the Ron. And I'll pick out some highlights. Okay, so Hashutim Shenadru Nazamizah sternly comes to Chatzir. So over here, what we have is we have a partnership. And sometimes it happens, what can I tell you? Partnerships go sour. Okay, in other words, when people work together for a long time, so they tire of each other. And sometimes it doesn't take them a long time to tire of each other. But in other words, okay, human relationships are complicated. And so here we are right now in a partnership. And not only do we have a partnership, we have property together. We have a warehouse, whatever the case is. And meanwhile, so I'm so good and fed up with you, I'm making a neder. You're not going to get benefit from me. And meanwhile, what do we have? So we have joint ownership now over a property. Can I walk onto that property? Part of it's mine. I'm a shareholder in that property. So would that be okay? So Ashutzim, Shinajra, no, Zemizeh. And oh, by the way, how bad have things gotten in the relationship? They made a nedarim in both directions. I've had it with you. Oh, good. I've had it with you. Okay, perfect. Perfect. Lovely. And yeah. Good. And not only that. But in other words, I'm making a neder from you. Good. I'm making a neder from you. You're not getting benefit from me. Hey, you know what? Same back at you. You're not going to be getting enough from me. Okay. Wonderful. What a beautiful relationship. And so now on this property that we jointly own, so can I walk onto this property? Now, on one hand, I'm a shareholder. I have rights. I have ownership. I own half of it. Yeah, but the other half belongs to him, and I can't get benefit from him. So what's the story? Can I go on to this property? So what do you think? You don't have to think. I mean, we do have to think, but in other words, over here, it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. So Ashifim Shinadra and Azemizah certainly comes to Chatzir. So according to the Tanakhama, they can't go into joint property. And Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, Zenichnas L'toch Shalom, Zenichnas L'soch Shalom. And according to Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, no, each one of them can go onto the property. Because what I'm doing is that when I'm going onto the property, I'm going onto my property. Meaning at the time when I'm going on, it's mine. At the time when you're going on, it's yours. Okay. And over here, what does it sound like? So what does it sound like? So look at the Ran. So the Ran writes over here at the very beginning. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, Zen Nichnas L'toch Shalom, Zen Nichnas L'toch Shalom. So just a couple of details that we're going to go over within the Ran, and that is that right now it's an indivisible property. Okay, so come back to me tomorrow. I don't really mean tomorrow. I mean 2 days from now. No, tomorrow. Sorry, tomorrow. And we're going to go over why the property is indivisible. It's too small. Okay, fine. So okay, and if the property were larger. If it's a divisible property, so then the property needs to be divided. But we're going to speak that out more in detail tomorrow, so come back tomorrow for that. So, the Ran says what's really important to know is the Gemara Baba Kama. Marty just brought up the Gemara Baba Kama, different Gemara, but over here, what we have to remember is the Gemara Baba Kama. Okay, the Gemara over there in Baba Kama is Daf Nun Aleph. Okay, a little bit, right, not so far off from where we are. We're in Mem Hei in the Darim, so. Same general area. 51. So 51 in Baba Kama. And the Gemara over there looks at our Mishnah and says, you know what's going on? The issue of Breira. So the Rebbe Lazar, Savi Yesh Breira, Vahai Dilan, the Nef Shekayo, Vahai Dilan, the Nef Shekayo, Vereban Savi Yesh Breira. Okay. So over here it's like this. Okay. Let's go over the basic idea of Breira. Obviously, it's going to be what we're discussing for the rest of today. Okay. The idea behind Breira is very simple. I say that, by the way, I know and you know it's not really simple, but it is. But if we could try to just give it a simple explanation of Breira, a simple voice to Breira. So what is it? What is it is as follows. We're going to be making a transaction together right now, but not all the details are in place. Not all the details are in order. Some of the details are going to materialize at a later point in time. Okay, fine. So can we do the transaction now? And then when all those details do materialize at a future moment, can then we look back at this point of transaction? And can we say at this point in transaction, look, the details clarified at a later point in time, and so hufra adavra lamafreya, and so therefore retroactively we can go back now to the point of the transaction and say, that's exactly the way we thought it was going to be, or that's the way it came out. Okay, whether we predicted it, whether we didn't predict it, okay. Breira allows us to look back retroactively. So if you are a subscriber to Breira, so now what that means is that you can go and based on the way things unfolded in the future, you can say, because of that, so therefore retroactively we're going to go back to the point of transaction and we're going to say it's at that point in time we needed that information retroactively. Good. We can use the information retroactively. Okay. And that would be an example. I'm sorry, that's not an example. That's an explanation of Breira. I'll give you a simple example. Right? The Gemara in Erevin. Right? One of the most classic discussions in Shas regarding Breira. Breira, by the way, is one of those topics that comes up again and again throughout Shas. Right? It's a favorite amongst the Amoraim. Okay? Right now, I need to make an Erevin in order to extend my Tchum. I need to walk in a certain direction, and I need to augment my distance. Either that way or that way. Okay. You can only make one Erev. Now, there happens to be that to the east, there's going to be a shear given over Shabbos or Yontif. And to the west, I think there's also going to be a shear given. I don't know which way it is. So what I'll do is as follows. I'll lay down an Erev Tchum to the east. I'll lay down an Erev Tchum to the west. Now, right now, I can only make one of them. I can't make both. In other words, Erev Tchum moves your point of center. And your point of center obviously can only go either to the east or to the west. Now, but I lay both of them down and I say, look, if the Chacham is coming from the east, this is going to be my Erev Tchum. And if the Chacham is coming to the west, this will be my Erev Tchum. Right now, as I'm setting it up, and you have to set it up before Shabbos. So as I'm setting it up now before Shabbos, so now let's find out. On Shabbos, so what happened? The reporting came into town that the Chacham was to the east. Ah, perfect. Now that I just learned that the Chacham's coming from the east, so now I want to go back to yesterday when I set up my eastern Tchum, and I want that to be my Erev Tchum. Yeah, but you know when you set it up at the time you didn't know? Exactly. In other words, if I'm a subscriber to Breira, Breira allows me to take the information now and retroactively plug it back into the point of transaction. Good. Right? It's a fascinating concept. So over here, here's what we're looking at. Right? I'm going into now a property that's jointly owned between me and you. And right now, I need it to be my property. Why? Because if it's your property, if you're a shareholder in the property, which you are, and I'm stepping on your property, so I am going to be violating the neder, because I can't get benefit from you. So here's what we'll say. When I go into the property, you know what it is right now? In other words, it's mine. I'm exercising my rights because I have rights. I'm an owner. I'm a shareholder. So I'm exercising my right. This property belongs to me right now. When you come in, so here's the story. So I'm going to leave, you'll come in, and when you come in, it's your property. Meaning, as far as being shareholders are concerned, so maybe the best way to say it is not the way I'm saying it, in that right now I'm a shareholder, you're a shareholder, which is true. Meaning I'm not wrong, it's just true. But in other words, what we're utilizing Breira to say is times of usage. Meaning, what times can I use it? What times can you use it? Right now, at the point when we bought it jointly and we are now both shareholders in it, we didn't clarify. I know we didn't clarify at the time when we purchased it, but you know what? Breira allows us to say it, that at a later point in time, when I'm using it all of mine. And when you're using it all yours. Meaning, because Breira allows us now to take the information now and plug it back into the transaction that occurred at an earlier time. Good. That's the machlokus between the Tanakama and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. So, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is clearly of the position that because of this idea of Breira, so therefore, when I walk into this jointly owned property where I'm a shareholder, so when I'm walking into it, I'm walking into my property and therefore not violating the neder. Okay, good. And the same thing when you walk in at a later point in time. But the problem, and what the Ron spends the entire daf discussing over here, is that generally speaking, what do we know? That when we have a sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so the halacha falls like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. I found here Nedarim, I have not been keeping a running score. Right? But here in Nedarim, we've had a number of Rav Elazar ben Yaakovs, and we know that Mishnah's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Kav Venaki. That when I have a Mishnah of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, it's clean. I told you already a number of times, the word Kav is Gematria 102, and so there are, I didn't make a personal count myself, but there are 102 times throughout Shas that we have a Mishnah of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Anyway, so the halachas of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which is the Yesh Breira. And so what's the problem? The problem that Ron notes is that we have another Gemara. The Gemara is in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza is found. It's at the end of the Masechta Lamed Ches. Right? Beitza is not long. Beitza is 40 dapim. Anyway, this is 38. So over there at the end of the Masechta, so the Gemara in Beitza says that we hold, that we paskin, ein Breira. By the Rabbanans, you could be Mekel, and by the Rabbanans, you could say Yesh Breira, but by the Raisas, we say Ein Breira. And so what the Ran and all the Rishonim are trying to do now is, it's trying to clean up, right? We have, so to say, a spill in aisle 5, and we have to clean up now. Why? Because our Gemara and the Gemara Baba Kama says that we pass on like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, meaning the halacha should be Yesh Breira. And meanwhile, the Gemara Beis says that when it comes to Dina Daraisa, we say Ein Breira. So which one is it, Yesh Breira or Ein Breira? So which is the accepted halacha? So the Ran, obviously, and all the Rishonim spend time trying to figure it out. There are, in this Ran alone, there's a Rabbi Natam, there's a Ramban. In other words, he quotes all the classic Rishonim who all give an approach in terms of how to navigate through these issues. What I'll do just for the rest of today is I'll just present the Ran. The Ran will tells us the following. The Ran starts towards the bottom. I'm not going to read inside, but if you want to see a starting point in terms of where the Ran starts discussing his own viewpoint, I had it. Okay. Lefichach Niran Lee. Okay, I found it. I knew it was there. So Lefichach Niran Lee, it's about 20 lines from the bottom, and it goes to the bottom of the Amud, and it goes to the top of the next Amud. But basically, what the Ran says is like this. In other words, the Gemara Beitza says Ein Breira, and that's the halacha. In other words, when it comes to Din Daraisa, we cannot rely on Breira. Again, by the Rabbanans, you can, but not by Daraisa. You cannot use the principle, the concept of Breira. However, the Ran says, but over here it's going to be different. Meaning, this is not going to be your typical Breira. Why? Because over here, what are we doing? In other words, we purchased a property together. At the time, there was Shalom Al Yisrael. We got along, everything was good, and we purchased a property together. Ah, okay, fine. Now, how's this working exactly? When are you using the property? When am I using the property? Those are details. We'll figure it out. And when we do figure it out, Breira tells us now that retroactive to the time of the transaction, this time belongs to me, that time belongs to you. In other words, but nevertheless, that's a detail that we'll figure it out. So what the Ran says is like this. A detail like that, we could use Breira. Meaning, even though the Gemara in Beitza says, Ain Breira, we cannot subscribe to Breira, that is true, mostly. But if it's just small details like... If it's just small details like time, like when is it going to be my time? When is it going to be your time? So for something like that, the Lashon of the Ran is that this is a miyut. That's just a small detail. For that, we could use Breira. If we're using large details like, did the transaction occur? Oh. And we need Breira in order to clarify that point. For that, we can't use Breira. But if all Breira is doing is just simply allocating and assigning which time is going to be your time, which time is going to be my time, that's a small detail that Breira will allow us to do. Okay. Anyway, that's basically the Ran's way of navigating between the two Gemaras. See the Ran inside for, first of all, to see his Lashon, which I can't understand how important that is. And just see it also inside for other approaches as well in terms of how to navigate. So we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with the Mishnah. I know that's funny, but the Mishnah on the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, which is really but just a continuation. So to conclude today's daf, what do we see? Number one, we finally concluded the discussion regarding Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that Hefker is what? According to Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Yossi, Hefker is not a relinquishment of ownership. Hefker just simply means I'm allowing somebody to take it. But when he takes it, he's not taking it from Hefker, he's taking it from me. That's Rav Yossi's viewpoint as understood by Rav Yochanan. And what we did between yesterday's daf and today's daf, we looked at a series of brisas. Can that go with the shita of Rav Yossi as understood by Rav Yochanan? Maybe. I know that's a funny way to say it, but that's the summary of the last 2 days of Gemara. Maybe. Maybe it could be going like Rav Yossi, if you're going to accept Rav Yossi's understanding as understood by Rav Yochanan. And all the Amorim get into the act. We saw Ula, we saw Reish Lakish. It was a major discussion here in Nedarim, right in the middle of the Masechta. And then we opened up with the fifth paragraph of the Masechta today, and we talked about a land that was owned in partnership by two people who ended up just simply not getting along, making Nedarim one against the other. Each one said, you're not going to be getting benefit from me. Can each one of them now walk onto their jointly owned property, obviously independent of one another? Can they do so? The Mishnah said, it's a machlokes. Chachamim say no. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says yes. What's the yes of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? That's going to be based on the principle of Breira. Breira tells us that when I'm walking on it, so that means that, look, when we purchase a property together, there was an understanding that there are times where it's yours, there are times where it's mine. The times where you're allowed usage, times when I'm allowed usage. When I'm going on it, it's my time. When you're going on it, it's your time. Brera allows us to say that, and therefore we're not violating the neder. That's our Mishnah as understood by the Gemara Baba Kama. And then what we finished off our daf today is noting that the Gemara in Beitza says that the halacha is Ein Brera. And we're stuck now a little bit. Meaning our Gemara as understood by the Gemara Baba Kama is telling us that Yesh Brera, meaning that's the Shita Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's the accepted viewpoint. Meanwhile, the Gemara in Beitza says that the halacha is Ein Brera. So how are we navigating these two Gemaras? Good, the Rishonim all give opinions. This morning I went over the Ran. The Ran says there's basically big Brera, little Brera. Okay. Again, not as Lashon, but in other words, Brera can be used on a limited basis. Adkan.